I'm Erica Wise, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. This is a special episode. We got the guys from Sweetwater, a great brewery in Georgia, up here in New York City for their launch, and we'll be airing this sometime in 2015. So welcome to the show. We got some great guests on. We got Kit and Steve and Tucker from Sweetwater and Lisa Witkowski, who's a great Cicerone person. We're all here today, and we're going to be drinking Sweetwater all night and talking about them coming to New York City. So let's give an intro to everybody. So you guys say your name and say what your jobs are.
Steve Ferris, I am the Minister of Propaganda for Sweetwater Brewery.
So what the hell is that, man?
That means I've been making it up as I go since the beginning and figuring it out along the way.
All right, and how'd you start working for Sweetwater?
I was running a bar in Atlanta and met Freddie Bench, the guy who started the brewery. And, you know, prior to running the bar, I'd worked for Guinness, I'd worked for Gallo, worked for a distributor. And, you know, I was right at the point where, you know, Sweetwater starting to get its feet underneath it. And, you know, trying to figure out how to work with distributors, how to work with retailers, you know, how do we go from this great brewery that makes phenomenal beer, but, you know, it's just run by a couple of brewers, to actually kind of
cool,
get
man.
Beyond our walls.
We've heard a lot about it. Our good friend Ale Sharpton's down in Atlanta.
I love Ale.
Always talking about it. And Kit Blanchard, what do, man? You're like one of the buddies from the brewery?
I'm one of the buddies from the brewery. I'm one of the investors with Sweetwater. I met Freddie back in 98 after he'd been brewing and had introduced the beer already. And we met looking at a rapid on a river. We were both kayakers.
That's romantic.
Yeah, thanks. And so
people. I love those people.
We were paddling together and he asked me, he's like, what do you do? And I'm like, I work for a band called Fish. And he's like, I like a band called Fish. And I said, what do you do? He's like, I work for, I brew beer. And I said, I like beer. So there you go.
All right. We have a lot to talk about on this show, I can tell you that. And Tucker, you're like the PR person or something. You brought
I'm
everybody
the PR
together.
Person or something. That's
yeah.
True.
You brought us some cool t-shirts and things.
I did. I brought you all the cool Sweetwater swag.
So it's been huge. You guys came to New York City for the first time.
We did, as of Monday.
I know you've been in places like Mug's Ale House, Blind Tiger. I was actually at Blind Tiger this afternoon, and we were drinking the hop hash beer. What's it called?
Well, there's hop hash and there's hash brown.
So hash brown. Oh, I call it hop hash, but Steve, you're supposed to correct me.
Come on. It's made with hop hash, so
yeah,
really you're not
got,
too far.
Yeah, we've got both of them. So,
oh, you do?
Yeah, we've got two beers. One called hop hash, which actually we get the, you know, so have you ever seen the hop processing portion of that?
A little bit. Tell me more about it.
Take the hops out of the field. You pick them off the vine. They run them through. They dry them, bale them up, and then you know, a lot of times the hop producers will pelletize them, put them in this tiny little pellet form. So it's great for storage. You know, last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. You know, blast it with nitrogen, stick it in their cooler, and it's great. But a byproduct of running it through that pelletizer is the screens on the inside get all caked up with this hash. It's like keef. It's like this resiny, sticky substance that cakes up the inside of the machine. So every like half hour, they got to stop, open it up, pull off the screens, scrape it out, and then put the screens back on, keep running. Well, in the past, they'd toss that sticky, icky, good stuff, that hash. We were talking to them. We're like, dude, send that to us, man. That sounds great. So we played with it, put it in a cask, made a dank tank release with it. Fastest selling dank tank, dude. It was called Johnny Hash. First time we ever did. Yeah.
We also have Lisa Witkowski. Lisa, so nice to have you on the show.
Thank you.
You're like one of the top Cicerone people or something.
I give the exam on the East Coast, so I'm one of the most terrifying Cicerone people, if that's the...
So they have to be nice to you. And it seems like now so many people in this trade, especially like if they're working for a chain or a distributor, they'll have to be like certified Cicerones. Or they can't get a job anymore.
I don't know that you can't get a job, but I think it's a nice standard that we look at sort of, you know, we take a good perspective that somebody who wants to sell beer and be approachable selling beer is someone who knows a lot about it. I think sometimes naysayers about that kind of education say, well, it makes beer unapproachable if somebody's so interested in styles and protocol and so on. But I think someone who knows a lot about beer is actually someone who's fun to talk to about beer and gets excited about it, and that's what Cicerone's about. So I'm really happy to say Cicerone is doing well and is promoting education of people who sell beer, you know, on the street, behind your bar, at your, you know, your local place, and they're rolling out a new level, which is advanced. So
Before master.
Because
no one can, have you guys ever tried to take the master Cicerone?
There's how many of them in the world?
We know some guys who've failed three times, so I guess you need something before master, right?
Yeah, I mean, certified is a great standard, and I think it's hard work for a lot of smart people, but advanced is in between. And master is kind of terrifying. I've been lucky to meet all the masters, and they're very special people.
Well, this is going to be an awesome show. We got some great tasters and great beer people. Let's talk about the beer. So, Sweetwater and Jordan, you guys have a great reputation, but what's the backstory? Did you guys intend to be in Georgia in the first place? I heard something about traveling.
Yeah. The truck broke down.
Yeah, right? Yeah, blow out a tire, and there you go.
But for real, that's the real story.
No, well, sort of. So, you know what was going on in Atlanta in mid-90s, 96 specifically. You know, the Olympics were coming through town. Town was on fire. Great culture, great energy, so much, you know, construction, and everything was growing and booming, and there's no craft beer scene. There were a couple of breweries that had just started up. It wasn't until like 2 years earlier that it was even legal in Georgia to have a production brewery. There were a couple guys going, you know, making kind of multi-European style. And Freddie and Kevin, you know, guys who started the brewery, came from Colorado. They went to school together out in Boulder. Became brewers, went to school and, you know, learned how to make great, aggressive, hoppy, West Coast style ales. So cruising around the Southeast looking for an opportunity to open Sweetwater, and found Atlanta. Town was, you know, great, you know. And coming from, you know, where you were out in Colorado to what was going on in Atlanta, it was a big shift in mindset. You know, there wasn't that craft scene. There wasn't that culture. So it was a while before, you know, people really understood the difference in styles. You know, I remember going into places and saying, hey, you know, it's, you know, I'd love to sample you on this Sweetwater 420 or Pale Ale. And they're like, no, I already got a local. I'm like, that local that you have is a porter, and that's great, but ours is a Pale Ale. And they're like, I only need one local. I'm like, that it doesn't make sense. So it took a while for people to just get educated. And it was cool because it kept us so deep in the roots of Atlanta, because we didn't have the opportunity to expand too far too fast. You know, we had to get
so
our...
Kid, how did you get involved in Sweetwater? When did you meet these guys?
So I met Freddie in 98. As I said, I just met him on a river. We were kayaking together. And... you know, he liked music, I liked beer, and after we'd hung out for a while, he learned that I was a rigger, an entertainment rigger. So I hung the lighting systems and the sound systems for these rock and roll bands. And he said, I've got some tanks that I need moved around. We've got new 200-barrel tanks coming in to our brewery, and do you think you could help me with that? And I knew how to pick up heavy things. Using mechanics,
tools.
And using tools, exactly, not brute strength.
So guys with tools make breweries, right?
Guys with tools do make breweries.
Do you agree with that, Tucker?
Absolutely,
and
all day long.
And women with tools and women with know-how help breweries as well.
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, early in the day, it was whoever would, you know, work for free beer is who came out and helped us. We had a bunch of dudes from Delta, you know. Delta Airlines.
Well, it's Georgia. Maybe there's like military guys.
Yeah, airplane mechanics would, you know, they'd come after their shift. They'd show up still in their uniform and come to the brewery and be like, hey, what can I help you with? And we're like,
that's
dude,
incredible.
That thing doesn't work. Or,
make the world a better place. Let's make some beer.
Yeah, and, you know, pay people in free beer.
And they brought their own wrenches, right?
Oh, yeah. We didn't have any tools. You know, like, we had rubber band
that's
and duct
incredible.
Tape. Yeah. We had plenty of low fills, which I don't know if you guys know about low fills.
No, what's that?
Low fill. So you run the machine, and you know when you got rubber band and duct tape holding together a bottling line. You know, sometimes as you're starting out or you're switching over from one beer to the next, there's like 8-9 ounces of beer in that bottle. You know, it's not good to sell, but it's plenty good to drink.
So back then, so what were the first beers that you guys made at Sweetwater?
Shoot. So the first two beers we made, so this is February of 97. We made an ale, you know, eventually called ESB after we learned about the legal system with the cease and desist. We called it Angler Ale, which we found out.
Wait, what were you calling it before that?
We were calling it Angler Ale, and somebody out west had that name.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, so we switched it over to ESB, you know, because we were entering it in, and it was the first beer that ever won an award for us at Great American Beer Fest in the ESB category. And then we also made Sweetwater Blue, which, you know, not really known in the South. You know, so we made this nice kind of little hoppy, you know, slightly aggressive ESB. And then we made this blue, which is lighter style wheat ale. It's got a little hint of fresh blueberry to it. You know, perfect in the South, hot temperatures. So it's kind of a gateway beer for us.
So you're saying back then there wasn't really a lot of craft beer in Georgia?
No, not much at all. So our third beer, though, was the 420. Can you guess when we first brewed that one?
You tell me.
Where do you think the name 420 comes from?
April 20th.
There you go. No. Ding, ding, ding. Who knew, huh?
That's a little controversial. I'm going to say that for later because a lot of people have been using that 420.
Oh, yeah.
Right, but really, like, let's go deep. So, and Tucker, and you guys, back then in Georgia, so the laws had changed. And what were people drinking before you guys started?
You know, it was Guinness and Bass and Harp and Bud Light and Miller Light and Coors Light and Killian's was
There were gateway beers, too. You know, there were gateway beers like Newcastle Brown Ale.
It was a lot like what's happening in New York City, too. It wasn't that different.
That was a gateway beer. You know, Sam Adams had come out, and Sam Adams was introducing people to the craft beer movement.
Sierra Nevada was
nascent. It was really, like, not a lot of people knew about that either back in 96, 97.
I remember trying to find, you know, as we were talking to wholesalers, you know, it's, you know, you assigned your distribution rights, and the wholesaler we're with today, you know, they had a local, so they were like, yeah, we've already got a local in our portfolio, we don't need two. Like, can you imagine a wholesaler today saying we don't need more than one local if they're making quality beer?
So the Atlanta scene, what were some of the first places that you guys were selling to bars and restaurants?
Yeah. So a lot of it was going in and you know, after work, brewing beer during the day, working the bottling line. You know, grabbing some low fills and going into the bars that night. You know,
so which places? What were the places in Atlanta?
Virginia Highlands is a neighborhood in Atlanta. That's a great scene. And then the city of Decatur also. So the first place that ever put us on draft, a place called Neighbors Pub in Virginia Highlands.
Neighbors.
Yeah.
It's still there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So that would be good if we went down there. Like, tell us places we should go and check out in Georgia.
Yeah.
We have people listening from Sweden and England and Michigan, off. You won't believe it, but they might say, I'm going to go down to Georgia and check out places to get good beer.
Decatur is the place that you'd want to go. Decatur is, you know, you call it, they don't like to be known as a suburb, but it's the town right next to Atlanta.
It's a township.
Right, Kit?
It's a township. Kit, I live in Decatur.
Kit lives in
if
Decatur.
I say it sounds like an automobile distributor, is that going to get me in trouble or something?
Decatur. Decatur.
I've heard that name so much, but I didn't know idea where it
was.
Well,
one of the, you know, you may know this, is one of the best bars in the world, Brick Store Pub, is in Decatur. And those guys started the summer.
I haven't been there. I've heard so many things.
Yeah, the summer of 97, those guys started.
There's a neighborhood in Atlanta that's like the big restaurant area, like going back in the 90s.
Oh, Buckhead.
Buckhead, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's where you're thinking.
Is that still a thriving restaurant scene?
Nah. There's some great restaurants
some
in Buckhead.
Restaurants,
it used to be the nightlife. It used to be where all the bars and restaurants, everybody would go after, you know, and stay late until... Old Ray the Blade, you know, Ray Lewis, and
the
Super Bowl. Yeah.
Buckhead, were they taking on Sweetwater back then in the 90s?
Yeah, some of those guys were. You know, it was definitely the smaller place that was, you know, much more appreciative of guys like us walking in and flip-flops and dog behind us, you know, carrying in low fills with no...
It was more like you were saying, though. It was more Virginia Highlands, yeah. Atkins Park, Dark Horse, those yeah. bars. And then,
yeah.
and then, as you were saying, the Decatur bars as well. You know, the Brick Store Pub being the anchor down
sure.
there.
Raging Burrito.
Raging Burrito was huge, you know, yeah.
anchor for us.
A lot of love there.
And the, yeah. just, you know, fatties. These gentlemen are both wearing their own plaid shirts and hats. So.
But, yeah, right.
The so that was the original kind of like Georgia scene over there.
Yeah.
And that's cool, man. Let's make a toast. And we're tasting right now. I keep joking, I call it the hop hash, but it's not the hop
hash. This is the hash brown. It's our fall seasonal. So using that hash product I was talking about. Brand new for us as a seasonal. And we just started making it a couple weeks ago.
I'll tell you, we're doing this as a special show. We're actually in the back room at Jimmy's number 43 in the East Village. And it's 6 o'clock at night, and we're getting wasted. So we're going to have a good show here. We're welcoming Sweetwater to New York City. They're here doing, they've been in bars like Mug's Ale House and Blind Tiger and some other great places. Spring Lounge, too, last night. So we'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Cider Week helps to bring profitability to local orchards while reviving heirloom apple varieties by cultivating awareness of craft cider. Cider Week connects cider makers from New York State and select pioneering guest cideries outside the state to buyers from top restaurants, bars, and retail shops across New York City. Those culinary tastemakers, in turn, help increase consumer awareness of cider's pleasures by hosting public events, tastings, dinners, classes, and pairings that build appreciation and demand for regional ciders.
Hey, my name is Joe Carroll from Spite and Dival, and you're listening to the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Hey, hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. This is a special show. Sweetwater from Georgia is here in New York City.
Whoop.
It's the launch party, and they've been in places like Mug's Ale House in Williamsburg, Blind Tiger, Spring Lounge, and they're here tonight at Jimmy's number 43. So we've been tasting with it's the hash browns.
That's right, you got it.
I keep calling it the hop hash, but you know I mix my words up. But this is a really great beer. I do like it.
It'll all sound the same.
So what was it for you guys? What took it for you guys to come to New York City? Because, you know, how many states have you been in before this?
You know what?
Based out of Georgia, so.
We've been super slow and super deliberate in our expansion. You know, we always wanted to make sure that we did it right. You know, find the town. Is it right for us? Do folks know us? Does it have a great scene? Is our wholesaler going to be a great partner for us? And we found that here in New York City. You know, Manhattan Beer, those guys are phenomenal. We actually invested about $25 million in the brewery over the last 5 years. Built out a whole new brew house, expanded our facility, go from 25,000 to 120,000 square feet. New bottling line, new can line.
But let's stop at that, and I'll tell you what's happening. What's amazing is that we're not really like a news show. But this fall, there's so many news. There's like Lagunitas and Heineken.
Oh, yeah.
So many deals happen, and we know that craft beer is big business.
Sure.
But how did you guys get so... I mean, you're not big, but how did you go from being this little brewery in Georgia?
Yeah.
Let's tell us about the first 10 years. Let's go back.
Cool.
Because it's kind of cool. You're selling to little bars in Georgia, and what's the town called? The part of Georgia you're
Decatur.
Like, or Virginia Hills.
Virginia Highlands.
Highlands, excuse me.
Atlanta.
Yeah, so, you know, that's been the cool thing about us is, you know, we got a rainbow trout as our logo. We've got a rainbow trout as our tattoo.
So it was 1997.
Yeah.
You guys opened up. And then what was happening like in 2002?
Same deal, man. You know, we're still, you know, trying to pave the way for craft beer in the Southeast. And we're still trying to educate everybody in every place we go, every festival that we work, every bar we work.
But that was like the beginning of the festival world. That was Bonnaroo. That was like the beginning of Bonnaroo was right around 2002.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And Sweetwater is the first and only craft beer at Bonnaroo
Star Hill was with
Star. Yeah. So, but Sweetwater had those standalone kiosks at Bonnaroo. So all these people from all over the country are coming to Bonnaroo.
Yeah, Tennessee.
Manchester, right? Tennessee. Right. And they're seeing Sweetwater there. And that's the craft brew that they can get their hands on.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it complements our cult, and it complements the culture of the brewery.
So back then, were there any other iconic, like, southern breweries at something like Bonnaroo?
No.
A lot of listeners know Bonnaroo. What year did you guys expand outside of Georgia? That's what I want to know.
So, yeah, we started in Georgia. First place we opened outside of Georgia was Asheville, which Asheville is huge in the craft beer community these days. Everybody knows Asheville now. Sierra Nevada's there. New Belgium's building there. Oscar Blue is built just outside of there. There's a ton of great local breweries. But we opened that up, and that was 02 as well, or maybe 03, that we finally was outside of Georgia, and we took that step. And it was because, you know what, we knew we could make great beer, and we knew that we had a wholesaler that could take care of us. Actually, this guy, Dave Kemper, who's a great friend of ours, was working for the wholesaler up there. So, you know what, we trusted
him. North Carolina, wow.
Yeah, we trusted him. And, you know what, this beer is food. This beer is our baby. This beer needs to be kept fresh. It's unpasteurized.
So, Kit, and you've been there from the beginning. Where did you come in?
You know, I came in as a friend of the brewery a couple years after the brewery was up and running. So I met Freddie in 98, and you know, started working with him in 99. You know, and started helping set up the tanks and working on the bottling line, helping get the beer out of the house.
This guy came up for low fills all the time.
Always.
Yeah. Low fills. Yeah, you see him coming up.
We're tasting I call it hop hash, but it's the hash browns.
Correct. Actually, we got some 420 on the table right now.
Well, that's the taste supposed. So I want Lisa as an expert taste. So, Lisa, what do you think of the hash brown, the first beer we had?
Get over that. That's really special. That's beautiful.
Wow! Thank you so much.
So it's almost like an old fashioned beer where it's like it's dark but hoppy.
It is. You know,
I like that style.
There's something really. I mean, without being heavy and hard to drink, there's something about it that has that fudgy, dank hop quality. Yeah. It's really pretty. You know, it's clean and.
But Lisa, you're like a BJCP judge. You know, is this beer to a style or is this off style?
Would I drink this beer? Yes, I would. I mean, this is the point is not, you know, achieving a style when we study styles to give some context to the beers that we make and to draw some inspiration and to sort of understand the history of beers, and then we use that to inform the beers that we make, and we make the things that inspire us based on, you know, our history and things we've tasted. This is a fairly unique, you know, there's something about that hop quality that's, without being heavy, you know, really fudgy and intense.
Yeah, you know, pungent hop is something that we talk about with this hash, that, you know, it's bright. You know, this is, you know, the malt bill is fairly light. It's kind of roasty.
There's good balance, but it's without being, you know, again, it's well articulated and you can taste the tremendous hop character. It's not heavy.
What inspired you guys to make this beer?
Well, so.
Because it's like, it's almost, to me, it's like a pre-prohibition beer. It's like, it's dark, it's hoppy.
It's the
kind of beer that people made for, it was like the luxury beer, right?
Yeah, something, you know, this creation came out of that hash product. So, you know, we get our hands on it. You know, we've got a deal with, you know, the folks at Hop Union and the folks at Crosby Farms, the two of the main suppliers we get our hash from, we get our hops from to get this hash. So they've got processes in place. We're like, dude, send us everything that you can get, everything that you can harvest. We'll use it. So that hop hash that we've been making at Double IPA is beautiful. And it's done phenomenally well for us. Like, you know what, we need to continue to step with this because it's such a unique product and brings such a unique
character. It's a nice style. I like it. That's why I picked it. It's actually on draft tonight at Jimmy's number 43. The hash brown. But Tucker, what's it like working with these guys at Sweetwater? Like, you're coming to New York doing a rollout. Like, honestly, What are you doing? Because this is intense, right? Your first time in New York City, you're going to the best beer bars.
Yeah, what are you doing, Tucker?
What am I doing? That's a great question. I'm just sitting here drinking beer. It's great working for this brand. I was a fan of this brand far before I started working for them. And it's, of course, because it's tasty beer, but also I really appreciate how much they do in every community that they're in. In Atlanta, they have always supported, we have always supported, now I can say that, Chattahoochee River Keepers. You know, they always have said, clean water makes great beer. And back when I was just a fan of the brewery, I really appreciate all that they did to support our waterways in Atlanta. And now that we're in other communities, we support the Waterkeeper Alliance in every community. And you know, Waterkeeper Alliance is headquartered here in New York. So I'm really looking forward to working with them, seeing what we can do to, you know, help clean up the water.
That's OG, right? That's water. That's Riverkeeper OG, right?
I am nothing if not OG, Kit.
I'm in like a family here. It's kind of cool. But you guys, so water is a key ingredient to beer, right?
Apparently, 90% it is.
Ninety percent of what we got right there is water.
Yeah. So what's the source of water for Sweet Water? That's a good question.
Yeah, right. So the Chattahoochee River.
There's a real river called Chattahoochee.
Chattahoochee River runs right through Atlanta.
And where did it come from, the headlands?
Headlands are up in North Georgia, just north of Helen, Georgia. It's a little spring up there that feeds down and runs through the city and then drops down into the Gulf of Mexico.
So how would you compare the water from that river to, you know, like, where Bass was from in Burton-on-Trent or whatever England, what's the quality of the water that you guys have, and how can you compare it to another, like a classical beer style from somewhere? That's a tough question, but I know you got the answer. So come on.
Yeah, right? If not, I'll make it up, right?
Yeah.
The water quality is great. You know, it's mineral heavy, which is great because it's a lot easier to take things out of water than it is to put it in. You know, you got something that's super soft, and now it's tough to brew with.
No, we have actually friends in Alaska making beer, and they have to add minerals to every batch of beer
it's tough. So, we get our water from the city of Atlanta. We've got a little process in-house to clean it up a touch, but, for the most part, it's city water that we're brewing
with. Did anyone ever ask that question? What would you compare your water in Atlanta to for a classical beer style? Is it like in England or Germany or...
You know, honestly...
You just don't know. It's different.
Yeah, water is so unique to the geography that, you work with what you got and then you refine your recipes to accentuate the water quality that you have.
Yeah. But it's amazing that so many brewers actually have to talk about adding different minerals their water to change it, right?
When you look at historical beers, we enjoy referring to Burton-on-Trent, we enjoy referring to classical Dublin water, etc. But I wouldn't want to hold a modern brewer to brew only the beers that are suited to the water chemistry exactly of the place that they're at. Yeah. Because people 400 years ago weren't going up to the corner pub and going, wow, there are 37 styles of beer I could drink. They were going, well, there's beer. and so in some ways a great brewer, I think we have to use a different standard and say that we respect the water that we source for our beer and love it and appreciate that we want to care for it and start with a source product that we've cared for. But then we say, if I added just a little bit more calcium, I could make a slightly different profile and work to accentuate the qualities of the water we have. But, all craft brewers hopefully feel free to say, I'm going to add slightly more mineral and be able to make a Pilsner or a stout. I hope we don't say, because you're in Georgia, this is your water chemistry, only make two kinds of beer. No, but it's beautiful. Absolutely. Water, and we hopefully love and appreciate
it. Let's talk about something that we're drinking, the 420, this IPA. So what is this beer?
So that's the third beer.
Everyone knows a 420, and we don't talk about 420 on this show because we know it references a different drug. But
what are you talking about?
What drug is that?
Who knows? I don't know. But
there's a bicycle messenger sitting out front. I don't know if that's for you.
Yes.
It says 420 on that. Yeah.
So it's 420. It's your extra pale ale.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
So
first
brewed
on April 20th.
But what year?
First brewed April 20th, 1997. And, we called it an extra pale ale at the time because... again, in the South, people weren't really used to this style. And, coming from the West Coast, we got fairly aggressive with the hops. So we wanted it to, you know, kind of stand out and people to see it and read it and be like, well, you know, what is it about this thing? That's so it's got a nice hop character to it. Definitely got a good backbone and malt to it, but it's super balanced. It's incredibly approachable. And I think that's why it's done so well for us. You know, with a name like 420, we'll get people to try it for the first time. But if you don't got the beer to back it up.
I still don't know what that means. But Tucker, so you live in Atlanta, Georgia?
I do.
Okay. So where are places that you go out in Atlanta?
Well, okay. Where do you want to know where I go out? Or do you want to know where I would recommend folks
go out? I
want to
know where you go out.
All right.
And my friend Al Sharpton,
if Al Sharpton and I are hitting the town, it's Wednesday through Sunday. We're going to go to Sweetwater first because we have brewery tours. And that really is, that's the thing to do. Come to the brewery tour, do a tasting, go on a tour, see what we're all about, find a new favorite beer, meet some cool people, talk to a brewer. And then I live in Midtown, and Sweetwater is located right in Midtown. So I would probably say, you know, save your Uber bucks. Stay kind of local. I might hit up something around the park, maybe. Park Tavern is a lot of fun. It's located on Piedmont Park. It was built by Mr. Olmsted, the same person who constructed
Central Park.
Right?
Yes.
So you can get your forestry nerd on there. lots of great places around there. If you're looking for entertainment, we have some great music venues.
Smith's Old Bar
is right nearby.
Cypress Street
is in Cypress Street is in stumbling distance to my house, so that is probably my favorite.
I know how to stumble.
Haunt. Yeah, right.
I think that Al Sharpton has told me about Cypress Street.
Yeah, those guys.
And then let's say you go into some of these bars. What's a typical Sweetwater you're going to see on tap there? Is Sweetwater in like every good bar in Atlanta?
Sweetwater is in every good bar. Yes.
So what's the typical beer they
have
on tap?
Some of the mediocre bars too.
Everyone loves 420. 420 is our core brand. But like at Cypress Street, they love the IPA. It's their house beer. It's really close to Georgia Tech, and a lot of those engineers, I think, love the complexity that comes with the IPA.
I'm more of an I like the IPA. That's why I like this Hop Ash, a.k.a. Hash Brown. No one's, you guys are so polite from the South.
Yeah, you'll get it.
I call it as a joke, but it's Hash Brown, but I keep calling it. Why don't you correct me?
Hi, man, you're the host.
But I do like the good hop profile beers, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. And then Kit, too. So, I mean, Atlanta's like a fascinating place. So we're going to talk more about it. We have more beers to taste. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
I'm Sam Edwards, and I listen to Heritage Radio Network.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's a special show recorded in the back room at Jimmy's Number 43 with Sweetwater from Georgia. They're launching in New York City. They've been in our favorite places like Mug's Ale House, Spring Lounge, Blind Tiger, and tonight they're at Jimmy's Number 43 and recording a special show. So this is really cool. I mean, Sweetwater is a brand we've all heard about. Our good buddy, Al Sharpton in Atlanta, is buddies, and this dude named Freddie, somewhere down there, is one of the founders. But we got Kit and Steve and Tucker and Lisa and cool people who are talking about Sweetwater. But, like, really, again, so, Steve, you're talking about the beer jab, but what's it like coming to New York City? Because, you know, year and a half ago, we had Bell's came in from Michigan, and it was huge. People from Michigan were like, I want Bell's. So do you guys feel that your customers from the South who live in New York City, do they feel the same way about Sweetwater? Like, oh man, I cannot wait to have Sweetwater in New York City.
Absolutely. You know, it's super cool because, you know, the beer translates incredibly well. You know, we've got plenty of different styles of beer that, you know, different kind of customers appreciate. But there's that pride of where you're from, you know, where you went to college. You know, I was down on vacation. You know, we're all over Florida. You know, our beer's in bottles or cans. So, you know, when people go on vacation down to the Outer Banks or something like that, and they drink that beer, like, that's a special memory for them. So it's such a cool thing for us to be down there. We you know, we've been down at the beach way too often.
But I'm saying El Sharpton because he's my buddy from Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
He said that you guys originally, you were driving, Freddie was driving down south, and he actually wanted to open in Florida. And somehow got stuck in Atlanta for the Olympics in 1996.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Well, you know what
was
happened?
He just finding his way around?
You ever been to Atlanta?
You know, I've been to Savannah, but I've never been to Atlanta.
We need to get you down to Atlanta. There's a ton of hot girls down there. And coming from Colorado, where girls don't shave their legs.
But Lisa, do girls drink beer?
I've never heard of such a thing. It's terrible.
So stopping in Atlanta, Olympics are booming. There's all this talent running around town. It's like, whew.
What about Let's get this? Serious. So at that time, you're saying that the laws in Georgia changed.
Yeah, laws in Georgia changed.
So what were the laws before you guys opened?
So before we opened, you couldn't even brew beer in Georgia. I think it was like
was there anyone brewing beer?
No. You know, some people illegally homebrew. But I think it was 94 when the laws changed, leading up to the Olympics. You know, it's an international, you know, microscope on the city. So laws changed, a couple breweries opened up.
So you mean before the Olympics, you could only get just mainstream beers.
Yep.
There wasn't one brewery in Georgia back
nope.
then.
Yeah,
that's you know, crazy.
Back,
we forget you know, how much has changed. Right?
Way back in the day, pre-prohibition. Yeah, there was some stuff going on, but yeah, nothing in the modern times. And it wasn't until 2006 that the laws in Georgia changed that you could either brew or sell beer above 6% alcohol. So once that law changed,
high gravity was
yeah.
after.
So what were your first beers then?
So happy ending, man. Happy ending to a terrible law. So we brewed this Russian Imperial Stout that we dry hopped. Still make it, you know, at end of the year. So, you know, that happy ending is a phenomenal.
But before that, so when you first started,
we were making 420. We were making
it's good
the
for our
ESP.
Listeners.
Yeah, we were making the blue.
What might I pay for a happy ending?
Everyone that we know that's making beer now, there's so many homebrewers. When they grew up, homebrewing was legal, and now you can homebrew in all 50 states, and there's breweries. But I can't believe that in 1996 in Georgia. You guys were like, were we the first brewery in Georgia?
No.
There were other ones?
Yeah, or? Yeah, there were a couple others. Yeah, that were going on at the time. There's Marthasville and Red Brick. At the time, Dogwood. Was there.
You were just making what? Pale ales, or what were you making?
Pale ale and ESB, and you know that Sweetwater Blue, and then we came out that Sweetwater IPA was the next one, and you know we're just kind of like pushing the boundaries of what we knew that the customers and yeah, staying below
the
that
porter,
6%.
The porter wasn't long after that either. The porter was like
99.
Yeah,
the Exodus porter.
You think that by guys like Freddie and Sweetwater starting up, you guys changed the beer culture in Georgia.
Yeah, we definitely you know evolved it tremendously. You know, it was.
I want some anecdotes about Freddie because he's supposed to be here, but he's not coming in. He's taking a plane that's coming in at 10 p.m. and this is like 6 p.m. But you each tell me an anecdote about Freddie, and because I want to know about Freddie.
Start with Steve.
Yeah, how'd you meet Freddie?
They'd run in the bar and ask him questions he didn't know the answers to. You know what?
Come on. Tell me about Freddie, because everyone wants to know about Freddie. And this guy's a really interesting dude. He's one of those personalities. Like we've talked to guys like Tony McGee from Lagunitas.
Sure.
And Larry Bell from Bell. So who is Freddie from Sweetwater?
Yeah, man. You know, it's a guy who's a brewer. It's a guy who knows phenomenal beer, understands people, you know, recognizes what it doesn't know. And brings in the people to help along the way, you know, has blood, sweat, and tears all over this brand. The lifestyle that this brand is really who he is as a person, and it's who we are as people too. Because like that's the kind of style that I am, or at least I hope that I am, and that's what attracted me to working with a guy like Freddie.
Because, cool. So he came from Colorado to Atlanta.
You know, it's all about passion. It's about giving back. It's about having a great time. You know. He says this all the time. You know, we're not here for a long time. We're here for a good time.
And Kit, when did you meet Freddie from Sweetwater?
So I met Freddie in 98, and I was a kayaker. Freddie's a kayaker. We're standing on this bridge overlooking a rapid at flood stage. The rapid's called the end of the world. And we're looking at this rapid. He looks at me, and he's like, are you going to run that? And I look at him like, that's a little much for me. I'm like, are you going to run that? He's like, no. So he's like,
is that in Georgia?
That was in Georgia.
So where was this rapid?
It was North Georgia, and it was like a class 5 rapid when it wasn't at flood stage. So we went, and I told him I'd add another river that was generally class 2 and 3 whitewater. But at flood stage, it bumped up to like 3 and 4
whitewater.
Where
in Georgia was this? I'm just
up near LJ, Georgia.
I don't know anything about Georgia, and I'm so excited.
It was up in the North Georgia mountains, and we wound up kayaking a river called the Cardigan, and that's when he learned what I did. I learned what he did. He likes music. I work in music. I like beer. He works in beer, and it's what the culture of the brand's about. It's about good friends having a good time and enjoying the outdoors. And that's how we came together. And I took my know-how, and I would help him raise tanks at the brewery, and then he would come out and he would check out shows that I was doing, with the different bands that I worked for. And
Cool. We'd like to hear about the history, And Lisa, have you ever had Sweetwater before tonight?
No, I've been hearing about it. I'm really excited that it's coming to New York. Well, now I get the full lineup, don't I?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where am I going to find it?
The bars that we had talked about.
Blind Tiger and the Savvy Bars will obviously have
Whole Foods,
this product.
A lot of the places
Whole
where
Whole Foods down on Bowery has got to have this place.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple of Walgreens that are going to carry it. We're talking to the guys from Duane Reade. And anywhere you're really going to find good craft beer in the city. We were just talking about Bell's. Where you would find Bell's in the city, you're going to hopefully find Sweetwater
That's
as well.
Fabulous. Yeah. I've been hearing about it, and there are a lot of people who are excited,
cool.
Not just from Georgia, who've been kind
it's
of
good.
Hearing your story and have tasted
and
your
Tucker,
beer.
You tell us, so when did you first meet Freddie and start working with Sweetwater? Because these are the stories you want to hear.
I do.
You guys
have
like the best jobs in the world. You're working for like a cool brewery. You're coming to New York City.
I hear that every day. Every day people say, you have the best job, and it really is true. I remember exactly when I first met Freddie. I was working for a little real estate development in South Atlanta, and I had met Steve. We, I think, did a fundraiser together for Chattahoochee Riverkeeper, and I said, hey, do you guys want to do a beer dinner? Expecting them to just say yes and send some product, maybe send some t-shirts or whatever. But we do this beer dinner, and it's outside. It's on the lawn at our bed and breakfast at the real estate development. And Steve and Freddie both come to the beer dinner. They bring their wives, and not only do they talk to guests, they taste guests through all the brands that they bring down, they stand up and tell the whole Sweetwater story. And to me, that just speaks volumes about who they are as people, who the brand is.
I think that's when you introduced me as the Minister of Paraphernalia.
I sure as hell did. I sure as hell did.
Wow.
Sorry, it's Jimmy's.
We're in
ghost.
The back room at Jimmy's number 43 in the East Village. Things happen. But so what's the crazy? Okay, I want to hear a crazy story. So what are things, like, I'll be honest, what can you not talk about? Because you guys are a brewery. You ask me, like, there's things you can't talk about.
I definitely can't talk about some of the jokes that are said in the brewery every day. My mama would blush. I'm from the South, Jimmy.
I can't talk about all the bras that were hung up in the old brewery.
I can't even remember that. I think I burned that brain cell.
All right. And you get free t-shirts, right? Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. I talked about Freddie, but the thing is, and why 420? We know what that means. It's a reference to a drug that used to be illegal and now is legal in a couple states. But
yeah, man. Honestly, who knew? We're dumb kids, naming beers as we go. First day we brewed the beer was April 20th, sitting around afterwards drinking some beers. Trying to come up with a name for it, look at the brewer sheet. Boom. There it was.
Boom!
That's
boom.
Some of your
boom.
But cheers to this. We're talking about, Stillwater.
Cheers.
Come on, you're not even.
Cheers.
And Lisa, what's it like for you? So you're out there tasting different beers, and first time you're tasting Stillwater. You're drinking.
Sweetwater.
Sorry.
Man. I'm going to correct you on this one.
You got to do that. See, I call it other names. But it's the hop hash from Sweetwater.
Hash brown.
Hash brown.
Hash brown.
We're going to have another couple of beers. We'll be calling it then.
It's funny tasting that.
What's the taste profile?
Because to me, I sort of, you told me where the product comes from, and if you just told me that, I'd sort of say, that's a garbage product, and that's going to be oxidized and nasty and useless. Why would use that? It's a gorgeous beer.
Yeah.
Really, so really
it's,
lovely.
It's treated the same way as the pellets. Or the whole,
it's
taken, it's put it into the bag, and it's, they blast it with nitrogen and then
seal
it.
The idea is that the pellets are compressed, so you have less surface area and less oxidation, yeah, because it is handled.
So that hash is
before it's the oxygen exclusion.
Well, the hash is like almost a brick, and so it's this, these chunky, things that... Oh, it gums up on the sides of the screen, and then they pull those screens out and scrape it off, and you got these like little chunks of hash that drop off the screen.
It's like it's Southern ingenuity because we were feeding peanuts to pigs, and then there was Jiffy, it's clearly been wasted. This is such a beautiful beer. I mean,
you're saying this is peanut butter beer?
If they want to make something like that, I'm game, but. They're all lovely beers, but I have to say the hash brown is really special, and I think if you're going to go out and try every Sweetwater as soon as you find them, but the hash brown is very special, and that's a priority.
See,
we've
tried the hash brown, we tried the IPA,
we tried the
420, yep. And what else are you guys bringing to New York City?
We got Take Two Pils, which is a nice German-style pilsner. It's kind of an interesting, divergence for us as we haven't done lagers as a brewery. We've done all ales. But last year we started doing this pils, and we've got a phenomenal reception to it. And it's been great too because, you go
kids bringing
out
more beer. It's amazing. You guys are very Southern hospitality.
Oh,
I love
you. Always. You go to some of these, eclectic bars that have phenomenal selections on draft, like your place. And I don't need another pale ale. I don't need another IPA. I've already got plenty of them. Yeah, yours is great. Also, having this phenomenal pils is a great.
Okay, let's pop it. Come on.
For us.
And then, right. You guys, let's go. The favorite cities that you're selling in.
Dude, my favorite cities are the coastal cities, man, because the lifestyle is phenomenal. It's, you can go fishing in the morning, eat
but
the catch
ones?
In the afternoon.
Which no, ones are you guys, Sweetwater Sand, or you guys are selling a lot?
Yeah, I love going down to, the Gulf side of Florida, St. Pete, Tampa, Dunedin area. It's great fishing, great community down there. I love getting out to Savannah and Charleston and up that east coast over there. Beautiful diversity over there and people that, great culinary culture. It translates incredibly well. And then, love getting up in the mountains in North Carolina. We just started selling beer up in Ohio recently and in Chicago. And that's such a cool thing for us, too, because we've always been in the South. And, we've always kind of known that customer down there. As we've branched up into Ohio and in Chicago, we're learning a lot about what northern drinkers like, especially in those colder weather cities. We make a beer called Georgia Brown, which we really only sold in...
Which they have in front of them right
unbelievable
now.
Unbelievable kit. Well
I like
done.
It. Nice brown beer.
I like it. So we did some tap takeover events as we launched in Columbus and in Cleveland and Cincinnati. And first keg to kick was the Georgia Brown because those guys, that's the style of beer that they like. So one of the things that we're really learning is... that diversity of customer and in the culture and in the community that they're in, not all the same styles are the most popular. South Florida is going to be so much different than Chicago, which we all kind of know. But, when you've got your portfolio of beers, you're like, 420 is our most popular one. Well, yeah, it's popular because it's kind of fits that spectrum for us and it's approachable. But
I'm a big fan of this hash brown, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a New York style right now.
Yeah.
Look, we're going to wrap the show, but Kit, you want to say anything else about? It's really cool to meet somebody who's like a part of Sweetwater from near the beginning. What else do you want to tell us about? Sweetwater's come in New York City. What should we all know about you?
Just that we are excited to have you try our beers. We're excited to have people try the beers and also see what our culture is about. Because. As our buddy Freddie would say, we're here for a good time. We're not here for a long time.
And you guys are also like behind some music festivals or what?
Yeah.
You talk about Bonnaroo.
Dude, talk about Bonnaroo, man. We put on one of the best music festivals in the Southeast. The Sweetwater 420 Fest. We had Snoop and Mo and 311.
And when's
Government
that?
Mule.
When's the next one?
It's a weekend closest to 420 every year. So that's Centennial Olympic Park. Yeah.
And you know, besides being a music festival, it's also a festival that celebrates Earth Day. You know, getting along, getting behind, you know, our one.
So we should go down to Atlanta for what, April 20th?
Hell yeah, man. You can stay on my couch.
Next year. Really?
Yeah.
What about you, Lisa? What do you think? Tasting these beers for the first time?
I'm going to elbow you off the couch. I'm coming down there. I'm really excited. They're gorgeous beers. I love them all, but I'm really excited about the hash brown and the George Brown. Gorgeous.
Thank you.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. I think your city's a we sell IPAs and pills, but I think it's also a brown ale town.
Yeah.
And Tucker, for you being part of this whole team, what's your favorite thing about New York City?
My favorite thing about New York City has been the response to Sweetwater. I've been walking around with tackle boxes, our 12-bag variety packs, and people stop me every time that I'm on the street or going into a building saying, oh, my God, tell me Sweetwater's coming to New York. It happened. I was at an interview at Bloomberg right before I came here, and that happened, and it's fun. I'm just I'm glad these Southerners up here are excited.
Well, this is amazing stuff. I want to thank our sponsor, Union Beer Distributors of great ales and lagers in New York City. And thanks to our guests, Kit, Tucker, Steve, and Lisa, for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Justin Kennedy and Maggie Seiden, and our engineer extraordinaire, Jack Inslee. We'll catch you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Yeah. Woo!
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.